I know you're getting to the end of the hour.
That's okay.
About your husband having the courage to correct somebody using the Lord's name in vain. Years ago, about over 20 years ago, I was at a breakfast, and I was sitting with this group of union leaders, and some of them were, like, really rough, you know, the way they have to be, pretty rough guys, at this breakfast. And I made the sign of the cross when the breakfast came out and bowed my head, you know, to say a quick grace. And this union leader started laughing at me, pointing his finger at me, and telling his son, who was there with him, he must be like mommy, one of those charismatics. And he was not mocking the prayer in tongues. Blah, 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 blah. And, you know, the other people at the table felt a little awkward. But I just ate my breakfast and, you know, he smiled. About a week later, 2 weeks later, we're at this huge banquet. And he's up at the dais, you know, up on the top
right
there. And he sees me sitting at a table. And he leaves the dais and he comes down and sits right next to me and acts as if I'm his long-lost brother. And everybody's saying, oh, look at this big shot sitting with this guy. And I think that he was convicted knowing that he had done wrong by teasing and mocking me. But and we went on to become very, very good friends over many years. So somewhat similar to
yeah.
the story about your husband, Jimmy.
Absolutely. You know, all
we
of us
have courageous at times.
That's right. And that, and I think that was that pop I had today. That's why I think it was it's apropos for each and every one of us, you know,
right.
that Jesus will give us the courage, no matter how many times we fail. If we keep getting back up, as he told the young people today, get back up again. When life knocks you down, when your circumstances in life are a struggle and you fall down, he told them today, get back up again. That was his message. And the other one was what I had just said to you. The secret of our journey is truly standing firm and putting our hope in the Lord, because Jesus will give us the courage to do what needs to be done. So I want to thank you, Mario. It's always a blessing to talk to you.
Thank you, Kathy. And I'll throw another easy one out, so maybe I can win something tomorrow.
Okay, will do.
All right.
God bless. Bye now. How much time do we have? Let me take James real quick. Whoops, too. Hi, James.
Hey, Kathleen. I got the answer.
Okay.
It is 12 gates to the city.
You got it.
Spoke Aramaic.
Well, somebody beat you to it with the Aramaic. He already got a book, but now I'm going to send you a book because you got the right answer, James. It is indeed
okay.
12 Gates. I'm proud
yep.
of you.
Yeah, well, that's a song called, a song by the Caravans. They did a song called 12 Gates to the City, I think it was.
Ah.
Anyway, that lyric line is in that song.
Okay.
It's a gospel song by the Caravans.
Okay. Well, I'll tell you
look
what. I will indeed. You look it up in Scripture. I think it's 12:21.
That's correct.
Okay. God bless you, Jane.
So you said how many gates, I knew right off the top. It was 12.
You're the man. Thank you very much.
I know a man.
We all know a man.
Jesus.
His name is Jesus. God bless
you,
Jim.
I'm your producer, by the way, today.
Ah, wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
Wonderful.
Yeah, and I like the new format. It works for you.
Aw, thanks, James.
Absolutely. And you can call me James. Everybody that answers is Jim.
Okay, Jim. Thank you so much. I'll call you James. I love that. I'll call you James.
Thank you.
All right.
Thank
God bless and thank you. Bye now.
Take care.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Well, we're going to, I guess we're going to go into the new hour, and we only have about a half a second or a minute, whatever the time is. I'm looking at my engineer over here. Well, I'll tell you, the phones, all the lights were going on. It was great. We couldn't get to everybody, but we have a whole other hour. And in the hour, we hope to be able to bring you the beautiful new programming for another hour of In the Silence of My Heart. I would ask you today, you know, in the message that I brought to you, that I read to you today from In the Silence of My Heart, how did that speak to your heart? Did it speak to your heart or did it not? Be still and know that I am God. for all of us. We all have to listen. We all have to have an open heart. And we all have to realize that God has a mission and a call on each one of our lives. So don't go away. Be right back.
You're listening to In His Sign Catholic Radio on WTMR 800, Camden, Philadelphia. Stay tuned for In the Silence of My Heart with Kathleen McCarthy, coming up next.
Hello, Father Glacy here, and I owe a great debt of gratitude to the In His Sign Radio ministry. It was this radio ministry that I listened to when I was going from being a lukewarm Catholic to an engaged Catholic, and this ministry really majorly affected the Catholic that I am today. Kathleen McCarthy, in particular, has an uncanny ability to speak to the heart, and when she speaks to the heart, she speaks with God's love, with His grace, and with His mercy. I can honestly say that I am a better Catholic, a better man of God, and have experienced the healing and joy of the gospel because of the great ministry of Kathleen McCarthy. And so I encourage others to listen to her so that they can experience the beautiful work that God does through her beautiful words.
And you're listening to What the World Needs Now, and once again, how blessed we are, each and every one of us, to have Catholic Radio. I'd like to ask you today if you have something that you'd like to share in a special way, that maybe a time when God gave you the courage. You know, I always say we all have a story to tell. Maybe there was a time you had the courage to do something that you know it was Jesus Himself that gave you. You heard Mario's story. You heard me tell the story about Jimmy in the steam room. And I could tell you a million more. You know, each one of us, I always say, the Lord has really, truly given me, my life's a book. That's the best way I can put it. And there's so many stories in that book. And so for each of you, I can only say again, was there a certain time in your own life that you realized that you were weaker, and somehow God gave you the courage or the strength to do the right thing, maybe to say the right thing?
This is Pat Wally.
And so all of a sudden I heard this music. And so for all of us, we all go through those moments, you know, and we have to say, like, just like Jesus, when the apostles were in the boat and they saw this figure, and some of them said, it's a ghost. And Peter said, it is the Lord. It's the Lord. How many times have we been in a situation where we ourselves really didn't know? We couldn't understand how to answer a question or to make the right decision in regards to our family, our children, our livelihood, maybe situations in regards to life-altering decisions. And I'm offering you an opportunity to call in and very briefly share. You know, I always say this is where we were, and this is where we are through the grace of God. And for you and I, we have been blessed abundantly, blessed mightily. And so as we begin this new hour, maybe you would like to share one of those moments in your own life. Or maybe you want to share from what I read, you know, I have a very special calling on each of your lives. And the Lord says, I don't know if you're really aware of that. That we're called like the apostles were called, that they were weak too. You know, in that word, one of them was a, Paul was a murderer. And think about it, even in the Old Testament, Moses was a murderer. So we always have to realize that we can all be redeemed when we have a repentant heart and turn away from those things that would take us from God. And he encourages us in what I read today that he wants us to recognize his voice through the power of the Holy Spirit in each and every one of us so that we can not only hear his voice, but that we will have the courage and be filled with the holy boldness that we can swim against the tide when Jesus gives us the courage. You know, what he tells us in the scriptures again, he tells us very plainly, in him we can do all things. In him, Philippians 4:13, I can do all things in Christ who strengthens me. Isn't that a blessing? I can do all things in Christ who strengthens me. I often think, quite frankly, about all those who are under such persecution, you know, where they're losing their Christians are losing their lives, their heads, their livelihoods, their homes, their children. And it is only in times of this tremendous grace of the Spirit coming upon them, filling them with grace and hope and that courage to stand firm in those times. You know, I just said to a friend of mine, you know, you hope and pray to God that it'll never come to pass in this country, but we don't know. And he said to me, oh, I'd automatically say, they said, if they stood there with a gun in their hand, I would absolutely say, I will not denounce the Lord. But they put something to my head, to my neck, I would never denounce the Lord. And I said, well, isn't that funny? I would certainly hope and pray to God that I wouldn't. And I believe, you know, it's easy to say I wouldn't, but I hope that I would have the courage to turn and ask Christ for help, that he would be my strength, and that he would give me the boldness and the courage that I would need to be everything that he calls me to be. And that's how he is with each and every one of us. Every one of us. He wants us to turn to him. And he wants us to tell him, I need your help. I'm weak. And so give us a call. 610-527-2906. James, I need you to call back. We don't have your address to send the book off and how you want it signed. So if you can call back here, they'll they'll take your information and they'll get that book right out to you. So once again, James, this is going out to you. Please give us a call. We want to be able to send that book to the right address. And today is look at today. Today was a beautiful day this morning, just absolutely beautiful. The sun was shining, a cool breeze was going by, and it was just a wonderful day in the Lord. But then again, just a little while ago, I'm sitting here in the studio, and I hear this huge, tremendous rolling of thunder. So just like the weather, you know, you don't expect a storm, and when the day is bright and sunny outside, you don't expect these rolling thunder and pouring rain. I hear will happen tonight. But we always have to be prepared. You and I have to be prepared. I will also, let me get this call, but in a moment I will read you the gospel reading today. You know, the Lord tells us in the gospel that he comes to give us peace. He says, my peace I give to you. And, you know, it's a peace that only he can give us. It's not the kind of peace that you say, I feel happy, I'm calm. It's not that kind of peace. It's a peace that comes from the Lord himself. He says, I have come that you might have peace and have it to the full. He tells us that his peace is not of the world. He breathed his apostles. He breathed peace on them before he gave them one gift so that they could be at peace, to be able to use the gifts to build up the kingdom of God. And so, you know, as I said, for each one of us, the Lord, you know, he told us, peace I leave with you. And that was from the gospel today, the gospel of John. He says, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give it to you. He says, let not your hearts be troubled, and neither let them be afraid. You heard me say to you, I must go away, and I will come to you. If you love me, you would have rejoiced because I am going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. Now, can you imagine? I mean, just think about this. Try to get a mental picture. They place their hope, their destiny, and their trust in this rabbi, this Jesus who they broke bread with. They saw him heal the sick. They saw him perform miracles. They even saw him raise the dead. They saw it all. And they placed their hope in him, their trust in him. And so finally, when they see him after the resurrection, they're all praised. They're all so happy again. They're praising God. They're thrilled that their Savior is alive and he's living. And they met him on the road to Emmaus, and they met him on the beach, and he saw their hands, his hands and his feet, and he saw the wound in their side, and he appeared to them time and time again. They were so happy. And then what does Jesus say to them? What does he tell them before he goes to the Father? He says, I have to go away. He has to go away. He says, if you love me, you would have rejoiced because I'm going to the Father. For the Father's greater than I. I have told you all this beforehand, before it takes place, so that when it does take place, you may believe. I will no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of this world is coming. He has no power over me, but I do as the Father has commanded me, so that the world may know that I love the Father. And then he says to them, rise, let us be on our way. He tells them, rise, let us be on our way. Do you and I really know the peace which surpasses all understanding? Do we know that great peace? Isn't that in Philippians 4:7? The peace that goes beyond all understanding. I say it all the time. And when I, you know, when there's something in my life that comes and it would be a time for me to be troubled or worried or anxious about, that's what I remember from Philippians. That God's peace surpasses all understanding. And so in the Lord's farewell discourse there, he gives his apostles and disciples, he gives them that peace as his gift. What kind of peace does he offer? The peace of Christ. It's, you know, it's not just the absence of anxiety. It's not just the absence of fear. It's just not the absence of troubles in our lives or the absence of struggles. He gives us a peace, my gosh, that goes beyond all understanding. It's that peace that comes from Christ. The peace of Christ, it is. It's more than just, like I said, the absence of anxiety or doubts or fears. It's more than the absence of troubles or terrible struggles or circumstances that rob us of peace. It's more than all that. It's a peace of Christ. It's His peace. You know, he says it's His peace. I have come that you might have peace and have it to the full. This is Christ's peace. And how often do we think about that peace? How often do we really understand that Christ's peace does indeed surpass all understanding? That nothing, the peace that Jesus offers, conquers our fears, conquers our anxieties, conquers our doubts, conquers our depression, our despair, when we remember, I leave you my peace, the peace that is beyond all understanding. Wow, that's amazing. No wonder that's his discourse, that's his farewell till he went back to the Father. If we have peace and the world cannot rob us of it, then we can accomplish all things in his power, under the influence of the Holy Spirit and in his name. This is not our peace. It's the peace of Christ. And do we realize that that's ours, that we can attain this peace? You and I, we can obtain it because he offers it not only to his disciples on his discourse there and his, you know, in his last discourse, but he offers it to you and I forever. Because he offers it to his followers through the gift and the work of the Holy Spirit, which dwells within each of us. You and I have yielded so much territory to the enemy. You and I have given in to worry all the time. I mean, people worry. I used to tell my mother was a great worrier. Nobody could worry like her. So much so that one day I came in and she said, oh, I was so worried about you. Where were you? I said, Mom, you would worry. I didn't say Mom. I actually said Mother, because I never called her Mom. My brothers did, but for some reason I called her Mother. And isn't it funny? All 12 of my children, 11 call me Mom and one calls me Mother, my son Michael. And here I call my mother Mother. And I remember saying to her, Mother, if you didn't have something to worry about, you would worry about not having something to worry about. And yet she loved the Lord. And she had great faith. But I think sometimes we forget that we have been given the peace of Christ. Not our peace, but the peace of Christ. The peace that goes beyond all understanding. So much so that the Lord tells us in the scriptures that nothing can take us from this peace of Jesus Christ. No sorrow, no grief, no danger, no suffering. There's nothing that can take away from Christ's peace. He multiplies. He gives us more when we step out in that peace. When we go to him and remember that this is ours. He promised it not only to his apostles, but he also promised it to every single one of us. That's our destiny. Our destiny is to be at peace so we can do the works he called each one of us to do. Whatever that is. Jesus talks about what he gives us. He talks about his peace, his grace, his strength, his courage. He tells us to hope in him. May his peace always be with us. May no heartache, no trial, no grief, no affliction. Rob me or rob us of the peach of the peace that passes all understanding. May we remember that. May we be able to always say, "You, O Lord, are my peace." May we remain in the peace of Christ. May you and I remain in his peace. Let us never forget that scripture today. I mean, think about it. He says, "The peace I leave with you, it's my peace I give to you. Not like the world gives it. I give it to you, my peace. Let not your heart be troubled or afraid." Imagine I go away. If you love me, you would have rejoiced. I was at Mass this morning, and just a beautiful priest at Mass this morning even spoke about that. He said he had counseled a couple who had just lost their second child. And he said, you know, burying their second child and how they were so grief-stricken. But because they stood firm in that faith and put their hope in the Lord, which was the Holy Father's word to the young people today, as difficult as that grief was, and nothing can compare to losing a child, as difficult as that grief was, as difficult as that heartache was, this couple were filled with faith because they were at Mass. After that, they were at Mass the next day. They were placing their hope in the Lord. And only Christ, only Jesus Christ, could have given them that consolation and the grace to rejoice, not that they lost their child, but that that child was with the Lord. He was with the Father. And so we grieve for ourselves. You and I, we grieve for ourselves. I remember when I had, in particular, one of my miscarriages, I remember thinking afterwards, I'll never see him or her. I didn't know what the first one was. I'll never see him. I'll never hold her. You know, I carried that life within me, and that quickly it's gone back to God. And I remember feeling so, so sad. And I remember in the hospital that night, I looked at my hands. And I thought, I will never hold my child. And it was like a silent cry. I made no sound, but tears just ran down my face, and I looked at my empty hands. And at that moment, I knew that God had my child in his hands. I knew unequivocally that one day, I would be reunited with my child again. And that gave me hope. That gave me hope to go on, to try again, to live, as the Lord said in the scriptures today. Arise, let us go forth. Many times in our own lives, we're going to take a break in about 5 minutes, but I just want to share this with you. Many times in our own lives, we too have lost people. I lost my father, my brother, my mother, two of the babies that were, you know, I had two two babies in heaven. But God always, in the midst of grief, can take us to grace. My mother was the best friend I ever had on earth. She was my cheerleader. She was the one to encourage me always, no matter how dark it got, no matter the troubles that I was having. She was always there, always loving me, always encouraging me on my way. I remember the night my mother died. I was with her saying the rosary. And then that, after she passed that night, I remember going into the closet and waiting for the coroner to come to pronounce her. And I remember walking in her closet and thinking, she'll never use these clothes. I'll never see her again. I said, Lord, who will ever, ever love me like that again? And in the silence of my heart, the Lord said, well, Kathleen, your mother had the gift of unconditional love. And so you see, it was my gift to her, and I will continue to love you unconditionally. That was a gift your mother had, but it was my love that she loved you with. And I can honestly tell you that that gave me a tremendous sense of peace and hope. Hope in the Lord. So for each one of us, every one of us, we must remember, no matter the difficulty, the trial, or the mountain that seems to be so big in front of us, no matter what brought it there, God will give us the grace to climb over it. He will give us the grace, the strength, and the courage to go on. And he will take us from anxiety and fear to the peace of Christ. And how did he do it? And that's why we should rejoice, because he went away. He went back to the Father so that we could one day have the peace of Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit in each and every one of our lives. Well, we're going to take a break. We will be right back. Please, don't go away.
This is Pat Wally. I have been a faithful listener of In His Sign for almost 9 years. So it is with much gratitude and appreciation in my heart that I reflect on how my life has been blessed through this beautiful anointed ministry. I personally have been the recipient of many answered prayers and healings, not only for myself, but also family and friends. You have been called, Kathleen, to speak all over the world, and wherever God sends you, the Holy Spirit uses you in amazing ways to touch the hearts and lives of God's hurting people through your extraordinary gift of healing. God bless you, Kathleen.
You're listening to In His Sign Catholic Radio, empowered by the Holy Spirit, bringing the fire of God's love to the world. We are blessed to have had this Catholic radio apostolate for almost 40 years now. Thanks be to God for your partnership. Without you, this radio voice would be silenced. We have a monthly Mass offered for you, our loyal family of listeners. It's our way of saying thank you for underpinning our apostolate with your many prayers and financial support. This is your radio ministry, to be a voice for those who have no voice, to evangelize, and to catechize for a time such as this. We know the Lord will bless you abundantly. He can never be outdone in generosity. If this ministry has touched your heart, help us to touch other hearts by supporting us with your prayers and financial support. Call us at 610-527-2906 or visit our website at inhissign.com.
Well, we're back again. You are listening to In the Silence of My Heart, and I'm blessed to be with each and every one of you. I'd like you to call in. We have a half hour ahead of us, and when have you experienced, or has that sharing that I just gave on the gospel, how has that touched you today? How has it touched your heart, if at all? And has it brought you to any deeper understanding of the peace, that it's Christ's peace and not ours? And that's why sometimes we try so hard, you know, to be at peace, when in fact it's only the peace that Christ can give us. So give a call to 610-527-2906. 610-527-2906. I really have such a strong sense, and I don't know why, and I don't even know if Dennis can do this, and he'll probably be ready to strangle me. I just see the look on his face. But I have a tremendous sense to play the song Quiet Place. I think that's such a beautiful, what shall I say, a beautiful time to contemplate the peace of Christ, to be still and to allow him to speak to us in the quietest of our heart. So he's going to put it up. I just got a big smile. And listen to this music and listen to Marty sing this. It is a beautiful rendition of, now he has on this song where he was inspired out of In the Silence of My Heart to write it. And so if you'd like a copy of this song, it's a beautiful contemplative work, I believe, from the heart of God that inspired Marty to write it. So sit back and listen to Quiet Place.
A quiet place, come away with me. In a quiet time, take this time to see. I will speak to you gently, I'll reveal. Listen and you'll learn. Listen and you'll hear. Hold you in my heart, here is where you'll grow. Come so then I can give you all you need to know. Find a quiet place, rest with me, be still. Here you understand, here you find my will. I will hold you close, clearly speak to you. You are in my heart, I'm make all things new. I hold you in my heart, here is where you grow. Come so then I can give you all you need to know. Quiet place, quiet time, quiet place, quiet time, quiet place, quiet time,
away with me,
quiet place. Quiet time
with me. Well, we're back again. You are listening to Quiet Place by Marty Rotella. He wrote it. He was inspired to write it as he read the book In the Silence of My Heart. And for that, I'm very grateful. If anybody would like a copy of that song, give us a call, 610-527-2906. And again, we have this last 25 minutes. It's yours. Give me a call. I'd like to hear from you. Maybe it's about something from the first hour. Perhaps it's something from this hour. Maybe you'd like to share about the scripture that we talked about today from the readings in the Gospel of John. Perhaps it was through the reading of In the Silence of My Heart, and perhaps it was through just pondering in the silence of your own heart the beautiful gift of that song, Quiet Place. You know, we all need a quiet place. We all need to come away to a quiet. That's what Jesus told us. He told us to come away to a quiet place with Him. And in those quiet places, whether it's alone in the church sitting in adoration, whether it's walking along by a body of water, I personally love that. I love to stroll around a lake or around a river, even the ocean, but particularly the still waters. I love to listen to a babbling brook or a creek. I love to ponder the present moment with God as I walk in the midst of God's beautiful creation. What is a quiet place to you, my brothers and sisters? Do you take the time to find a quiet place? It's very important, you know. That's why the Lord tells us, find a quiet place. Find a quiet place. And so for each one of us, if we haven't maybe found a quiet place, if we haven't even thought about it before, and we never really seem to have that peace, then make a point of it. It only takes a few moments to walk into an adoration chapel and just come to a quiet place and come away with Him. And let Him speak to your heart. Let Him heal you. Oh, let Him speak His word in such a way that will bring new life into the situation. It'll bring peace and dispel the anxieties and the distractions of the day. Maybe you can find a quiet place. I remember when I was a corporate trainer. Every day at 9 o'clock to 9:15, because my class started at 9:30, I would close my door and I had a sign on it, please do not disturb under any circumstances. And I took that 15 minutes and I went away to a quiet place. It wasn't necessarily a time in those 15 minutes to pray. It was a time to come away and just be still and to recognize the voice of Jesus speaking in the silence of my heart. He does, you know. He loves us so much. He's so head over heels in love with each and every one of us, as St. Augustine said. He loves each and every one of us as if there were only one of us to love. But we get so caught up in the busyness. We get so caught up in the noise of the world. We get so caught up in the things of the world. We feel that we underperform and that we don't do our best in our livelihoods or in our families as you know, a helpmate or a mother or a wife, working in our jobs. The same with the men, as a husband, as a father. For the young people, they have so much to distract them today. And the only thing that can bring them peace so that they can be all that God calls them to be is to take a quiet time. As Jesus says so plainly and clearly, arise, let us be on our way. He tells his apostles and his disciples to come away to a quiet place, to just be with God, not to be talking and talking and talking and talking, but just to be still and allow him to love us, allow him to encourage us when we're feeling that there's no one else who really cares so much about our hard day or the troubles that we're experiencing in our lives, or that the troubles and the struggles that we work through day in and day out. You see, there's always one who's listening. He always listens. And so when we come away to a quiet place, he wants us to tell him about how we're feeling, how we're hurting. He wants us to snuggle up close to him. And he wants to give us the encouragement, the edification that he can give like no other. He wants to tell us about why he loves us and all the wonderful things that he sees in us. Oftentimes, the very things that we can't see ourselves. He tells us about the things that we fail to notice or the people that he's brought into our lives. The people that perhaps have opened our hearts and our minds and to look deeply into things in our lives that we maybe couldn't face before. But because of God's grace, because of Christ's peace, we finally are able to do so. This is a God that loves us so much. You know, he created us in his own mind and heart. My daughter Shannon told me once, and I remember laughing afterwards, and then I thought, wow. When I pondered it, I thought, what an amazing thing that she thought of. She said, Mommy, she was a grown woman with children, you know, it was just about maybe 8 or 9 years ago. And she said, Mommy, I was thinking about you today. And I was thinking about how God made you. How he must have put a sunshine in your heart. Because even in the most difficult set of circumstances, the sun was always shining somehow through you. Somehow he must have sprinkled some kind of wonder dust in you. because you're never tired and you never sleep. He must have also put a funny bone deep inside you because you always have something funny to say or funny to share. Or you laugh so hard from your head to your toes when someone else says something funny. And Mommy, I could see him taking your ears and working, putting them in close contact with your heart so that when people would come and tell you their troubles and their burdens, they slip from your ears right down into your heart and you lifted them in prayer. And I sort of chuckled when she was done and I said, well, Shannon, that's quite a thought you had there, and I sort of laughed. And then I thought about it later. I gave her a big hug, and later on I thought about it, and I thought, wow, that's an amazing thought. And maybe we should think about the people in our lives, how God created them. Even the ones, you know, that are broken, I had plenty of brokenness in my life. I had sufferings in my life just like you have in yours. Our children who maybe are out there and lost, broken, troubled, confused. Or even the beautiful children that are living the life and enjoying it to the full. Do we ever think that kind of a thought of how God created them? How he put a little bit of this and a little bit of that inside of them to make them who they are. Maybe if we would take those kinds of moments that Shannon took, maybe we'd have many more beautiful thoughts about the people in our lives and the people that we come in contact with. I often said that God never touches one of us. He touches one of us for each of us. And we're called to share. We're called to share his love, his grace, and his mercy. We are indeed blessed. We are indeed blessed that our God loved us so much that he breathed his breath into our nostrils. That ruah, the breath of God. I love that word. Every time I say it, it goes right through me. God's breath, ruah. The breath of God. And he breathes that breath into us through the gift of the Spirit in our lives. And he wants us to be open to all the gifts. He wants us to be open to receive everything he has to give us. He doesn't want us to be a cafeteria Christian. I'll take this, but not that. Give me a lot of this gift, but please, I don't want any of that controversial stuff. He wants us to come. He wants us to arise and be on the way with him. To be his apostles in this age, in this time, with his anointing, with his blessing, with the empowerment of the Spirit in our lives. That's what he wants. He wants us to get up, as Pope Francis told the young people. He wants us to get back up again and to go forward. Go forward. Let us never keep looking to the back, to the past. That's how we get stuck. We get mired in the past, and so we get stuck there. But he wants us to arise and go forth. He wants us to continue on the journey. And he wants us to be able to tell others of this amazing gift. This amazing gift of his love. The amazing gift of his love. This is what Jesus has for all of us. He has new life. New life. Are you ready for that new life? Let's think about it. I'm going to give you a quick, a lightning round right now. It's a chance to get one of those books, and you can name the book you want. Fatherless, Motherless, In the Silence of My Heart, or What the World Needs Now. You pick a book. This is the question, and this is about our Catholic faith. Who is the second, not the first, but the second, who is the second longest reigning pope? Who is the second longest reigning pope? Do you have any idea? I'll give you even a little hint. I'll wait. The second longest reigning pope. 610-527-2906. 610-527-2906. And then just in case the phone starts crazy again, like they did last time, I will maybe just give you, pardon me, one more quick one. At Mass, when does the bread and wine actually become the body and blood of Christ? Okay? Second question. At Mass, when does the bread and wine actually become the body and blood of Christ? And we have about 3 minutes. It's something to do with what the priest says, okay? How's that for a clue? When does the bread and wine become the body and blood of Jesus Christ at every Mass? And who was the second longest reigning pope? We have 5 minutes. Clock is ticking. Give us a call, 610-527-2906. 610-527-2906. Or if you're listening online, you can call 1-888-343-2484. Also, if you would like, we got about six minutes left. If you want to call in and you have something to share about today's program, then please do. We'd like to hear from you. Once again, 610-527-2906. Or you can call toll free 1-888-34-FAITH. 1-888-34-FAITH. And remember, remember today the little pop from the Pope. Let us not forget it. Remain steadfast in the journey of faith, with a firm hope in the Lord. This is the secret of our journey, because Jesus will give us the grace. He will give us the courage. I would also ask you to call in. There they go. Two of them are ringing at once. I want to give you our numbers. Maybe you'd like to help somehow. I am in need of a couple engineers for Monday in particular. but if I could get two, that'd be great. And again, we have people here. They'll train you. It's simple. We won't put you right on. We'll train you well. When you're ready, you can do it by yourself. But we need your help. Give me a call, 610-527-2906. Michelle.
Kathleen.
How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm good, darling. You have an answer for me or what?
Okay. So the first one I'm not sure about.
Okay.
I'm going to guess St. John Paul II, but I thought he was the longest reigning. So.
Right, right.
Okay, so, but the second one, could I answer the second one?
Yes, you can.
During the elevation at the consecration.
Uh-huh. And what does the priest say?
Before,
it's not when he elevates. We only have 3 minutes left. It's words that he says.
My body.
Uh-huh. You got it.
This is my body. Okay. Nervous there. All right. This is my body. Take this. This is my body. This is my blood.
You got it.
Will be given up for you.
You got it. Very good. I only have 2 minutes left, so I'm going to have to let you go. Hold on. Put her on hold, please. We'll get her her address. Thanks, Michelle.
Thank you, Kathleen.
All right, God bless. We coming at how much time do we have left here? About a 2. Okay, we got somebody else here. Let's see. Okay, Karen, do you have a question or do you have an answer? Hello. Oh, she must have hung. Karen. Okay, she's off. Let me answer that question then, unless somebody comes back on again. The question was, who was the second longest pope? Second longest reigning pope. And I'm going to quick give you the answer because we're going to have to go off the air. And it was Pope Pius IX was the second longest reigning pope ever. Pope Pius IX. So we're getting ready to go off, and I just want to tell each and every one of you, you are a gift in my life, and I am so grateful. I just ask now that Jesus fills each and every one of us with that peace, that we both can remember, and we all can remember, that it's His peace that He gives to each and every one of us. And we have to take that time to find a quiet place and a quiet time and take the time to see that Jesus loves you. He'll speak to you. He'll speak to your heart. He'll reveal Himself to you. Lord, if anybody's listening today and they're away from the church, Lord, let your word go forth. Open their ears that they might hear as you speak your word of your love to them. So if you're away from the church, come on home. We're not complete without you. Until we meet again, God willing, tomorrow, may Jesus Christ hold you close to His sacred heart.
Find a quiet place. Rest with me, be still. He you understand, He you find my will.